It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and it's just so good to have the opportunity to come and share with you today an encouraging word from God's Word, the Bible, and just to encourage you today in your walk of faith. No matter what you're going through today, God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. You might remember Delta Airline Flight 5191. It was on August 27, 2006. As the flight left its gate at Bluegrass Airport near Lexington, Kentucky, nothing seemed unusual. But actually, earlier that morning at 5:15 a.m., the pilots boarded the wrong plane, and they started the generator. And after they were informed by the tower that they were in the wrong plane, they moved to the right plane, and they began their pre-flight checks in the new plane. Then at 6:05 that morning, the pilots were cleared to take off on runway 22 by the tower. But the problem was, they taxied down runway 26, which was a much shorter runway designed for smaller planes. The pilots made a very critical error because they were apparently distracted. Within a matter of minutes, the flight was over. All the passengers and most of the crew members were dead because the pilots had become complacent and distracted, and they failed to follow proper procedures. Procedures that, if followed, would have stopped them from using the wrong runway. I want to talk to you today, friend, about distractions. Distractions. Now, I love definitions, and when you look up the meaning of the word distractions, this is what the dictionary says. Distraction is something that makes it difficult to think or pay attention. A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. We're living in a world that is full of distractions. And you and I can so easily be distracted from our purpose that God has given us that the enemy causes us to be on the wrong runway at times. Perhaps the greatest prophet that Israel ever had was the prophet Elijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, the prophet Elijah was desperate to hear God. Jezebel had sent him a threat, and he acted on it. He was fleeing and running to hide from her. And after he gives God a little pity party, God tells him to go out and stand on the mountain because God's going to pass by. And Elijah does that. And what happens? Here's the story in 1 Kings 19. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Wow. Elijah, when he obeys God and he goes to hear God, first there's this powerful wind that tears the mountains apart, and it shatters the rocks before the Lord, but God wasn't in it. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. Finally came that gentle whisper. You see, before God appeared in the gentle whisper, three things happened that you would automatically say, this has got to be God. But then God comes in a way no one would ever expect. So many times we miss it with God because we're looking for Him to move in a way that we think He ought to move. And when it doesn't happen, we become disappointed, and we're looking, and we don't hear God. You know, back when the telegraph was the fastest method of a long-distance communication, there was a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. He answered an ad in the local newspaper, and he went to the office where the address was listed in the ad. And when he arrived, he entered a large, busy office just filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and to wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. The young man filled out his form, and he sat down with the 7 other applicants waiting in the room. And after a few minutes, the young man stood up. He crossed the room to the door to the inner office, and he just walked right in. Now, naturally, the other applicants perked up, and they were wondering what was going on. They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They just assumed that the young man who went into the office made a mistake, and he would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out of the office, and he said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming, but now the job has been filled." The other applicants began grumbling to each other, and one spoke up and said, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job, and that's not fair." The employer said, "I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it." The young man did, and the job is his. See, so many times, it's not that God is not speaking to us, but we get so distracted that we miss and we don't hear what he's saying. We're too busy hearing the noise that's around us. In Luke, the 8th chapter, in the 5th verse, it says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it. And some fell on a rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." This is the parable we call the parable of the sower. Now, God goes on in verse 11 to tell us the meaning of the parable. This is what he says in verse 11. "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believed for a while, but in the time of testing, they fell away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." I love how the Bible is the best guide to interpret the Bible. Sometimes if you read down a little bit farther, God makes things very clear. So Jesus tells us here that the seed is the word of God. And just like the story of Elijah, where there were 3 distractions before God spoke in a still small voice, here in Luke 8, before we get to the person who was saved, when the seed is sown on good soil, Jesus describes 3 people who will not enter the kingdom. The ones who the seed was sown upon the rock, because they, even though they heard the word, they don't have any root. They believe for a little while, and then when trials come, they fall apart. And then he spoke about the seed that fell among the thorns. These are the guys who get so busy with life's pleasure, the riches, and they don't mature. And those along the path, these were the ones that the devil came, and then he stole the seed away, and he took it before they could believe and really become saved. Friend, life is full of distractions. Don't let that distraction that the enemy brings against you cause you to miss God and miss his plan for your life and miss your opportunity to have a life that's full. The enemy wants to distract you today. He wants to take it away. In this parable, Jesus mentioned 3 types of weeds or distractions that keeps us from hearing God's voice and responding the way we should. He mentioned worries, riches, and pleasures. Have you ever noticed how weeds grow with just little effort? You don't have to plant them. You don't have to water them. They just grow. They take all the attention away from the beautiful stuff. I just noticed walking into my house today, there was a new weed that had come up right next to the pretty flowers. See, weeds are a distraction. They're something that prevents us from giving the full attention to something else. That seed that's sown among the thorns, it's choked out by worries, riches, and pleasures. And it caused the individual not to focus on God because they were so concerned with riches, worries, and pleasures. The word worries is a Greek word, merimna, and it means to be pulled in different directions. It's interesting because Jesus taught us in that great passage in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." See, when the devil can pull you into a state of worry, he loves it because it pulls you in different directions. You can't hear God. You're too busy hearing all the problems around you. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, one of the truly great verses in the Bible, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You don't need to worry. Corrie ten Boom, I love Corrie ten Boom. She said a great statement. She said, "Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength." That is so true. And then there were riches. Riches is forgetting that everything we have comes from God. That every good and perfect gift, James said, comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, worrying is a distraction, but riches can also be a distraction. Riches can pull you away from God's perfect plan for your life. Never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. Do you remember the song "Cats in the Cradle"? It's such a true scenario that happens so often in our life. It was written by Harry Chapin. He said, "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to play. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you.' And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon, when you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then." He goes on, I'm going to skip a little bit, but he says, "I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, 'I'd like to see you if you don't mind.' He said, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids got the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you.' And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. 'When you coming home, son?' 'I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then.'" The third distraction Jesus mentioned was pleasures. He called them the pleasures of the world. Just like the Roman Empire, our world today has become so pleasure crazy. Our sports arenas, they're packed. Concert halls today are packed. The world is craving pleasure. Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 5, verse 11. He said, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. They have harps and lyres at their banquets, tambourines and flutes and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hand." You know, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, that Hall of Fame chapter, when it's talking about Moses, it said he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. We've been talking today about distractions, that which the enemy throws in our life that prevents us from giving full attention to our purpose and destiny, and most of all, to our God. Did you ever notice as soon as you set aside some time to pray or get into God's Word, the phone will ring or someone will knock on the door? Distractions. The enemy loves them. He wants to pull you away from what's important. But God wants you to turn to Him today, friend. Call out to Him and He will answer you. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil. And it's been so good to come in and share with you. Walk in grace.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He He makes His mercies new every morning.